22nd chapter of Revelation. And to the eternal ages to come, let's look on our map. Now, all of you have one of these, don't you? Got one, Emma, at home? We all have one of these. It starts out in eternity past and it ends in eternity future. Now, over here, this is kind of a brief thing. We have a tribulation period, which is horrible on this earth, to bring Israel back to God. And there are going to be, at the end of this, there are going to be a few inhabitants that go into the kingdom of God, the thousand-year reign of Christ, which we're going to talk about. Now, let's go back to this side. We live in the church age here, don't we? What are we looking forward to in the church age, this great event?
The rapture.
The rapture. All right. How many of you like to go up in the rapture? All right. That'd be great. Okay, that's nice to get us out of this mess that we're down here on the earth with. So that the rapture takes place there. They say some of them middle of the week, some of them last of the week. Middle of the week's possible. Last of the week, I don't think it's possible at all. You got to just twist the scriptures all to pieces to get that. Then we have a thousand-year reign of Christ, where possibly the resurrected David will be ruling from New Jerusalem on earth. The Jerusalem, from that temple area there, which is Ezekiel's temple, which is quite a few miles square. There's not even enough room in Jerusalem for this. God's going to have to change the land to put enough place for that. Of course, what else? What other? How else is God going to have to change the land for that great battle? The battle what?
Armageddon.
Armageddon. That battlefield is not in existence yet. That field is 200 miles long between Bozrah and Edom. That's where it is. That doesn't exist right now, but God will make that battlefield by earthquakes. He's going to make that battlefield. How many people are going to come against Israel? How many people in this great army?
200 million
people. That's a lot of people. Is that possible? They used to say the only army that big was Red China. But we know a bigger one now, don't we? Islam. If indeed this 8th empire is a resurrected 7th empire, which was the Ottoman Empire, how many adherents to Islam are there today? From 1.2 billion to 1.5 billion. Do you think you can get 200 million out of that? Pretty easy. Okay? So we have this battlefield and everything. At the end of this tribulation period, God is going to zap them, beat them up. He's going to bring the resurrected saints with him on white horses and white garments, and he is the only one that has any battle armament, only there for one reason, for cheering the Lord on. You understanding this? Okay, this is good stuff. Because maybe we'll get to see this before long. Of course, that is way long over there.
So now, the ones that come back with him aren't going to be fighting.
What? No, they're not going to be fighting. The people coming back, the armies coming back here, are only to witness. That's all. He's not going to let his bride fight. The bride's going to watch him fight. Once they've been united, they don't want to be reunited, not even in this war. But it's not going to be much of a war, is it? The seed of Satan and the seed of God will be at war there. The seed of Satan is who? The Antichristos, the Antichrist. The seed of God is Jesus Christ. Okay? Here we have two persons that are what we might call eternal, because from the time Satan was created, he's here, isn't he? He was created as Lucifer, not Satan. And Jesus is always the eternal Son of God, isn't he? Always was Jehovah. Always John 1 and 1. Now let's read in Revelation the 20th chapter. You have your little Bibles out there. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. And I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. Now, this is going to happen right here at this period of time right here, okay? Satan has gathered for 7 years. Satan has been turned loose on the earth, but now he's going to be captured. He's going to be beat up. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the first inhabitants in the lake of fire, okay? We don't have anybody else in the lake of fire yet. Someplace in hell is a bottomless pit. I can't tell you everything about that, but someplace in hell there's a bottomless pit. And this is what we're going to talk about. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon. Who's the dragon?
The devil.
The devil. That's one of the words. The word in Hebrew is tanin. Tanin. And the Greek is drakon. And right here it comes right out of dragon. You know what a dragon is? We see pictures of dragons. This is a leviathan of old. You see pictures of dinosaurs and things like this. This is some kind of a big dragon. But Satan is called the leviathan of old. The old serpent. In primeval times. Who is the devil? And Satan. And securely bound him for 1,000 years. Now right here, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years in this bottomless pit. Why is he going to be bound during the millennial reign? Why is he going to be bound? This is a question. Why is he going to be bound for 1,000 years? What purpose? Yes.
To show that humans are still evil even without Satan.
Humans are depraved by nature without Satan's influence. That's very good. Because a lot of people don't understand this at all. Humans will go the wrong way without Satan's influence. You don't have to have Satan to make you go the wrong way. Now, these people are all sinners in that thousand-year reign. In other words, they're not saved people. They are saved people, but they're not glorified. See, when we get glorified, we're not going to sin anymore. Thank goodness for that. That's going to be real good. Because the sin nature bothers us, doesn't it? The sin nature is always there. It gripes us every day. For 1,000 years, there are going to be people that are going to be killed because they're sinners and they rebel. And then at the end of that period of time, we have a group from Gog and Magog that rebel against God. And this is what we call the Battle of Gog and Magog. Brother Ray, where is the Gog and Magog?
Gog and Magog?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's the end of the millennium. But where is Gog and Magog? Where are those places?
Well, they always said there was Russian olive, but it's actually in Turkey.
It's actually in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Okay, Turkey, the last caliphate was where? Turkey was the headquarters of this last caliphate, wasn't it, of the Islamic Empire. It dissolved March the 3rd, 1922. By 24, it was dissolved. But that was the seventh empire, which wasn't in power when John... What empire was in power when John wrote the book of Revelation? What was that sixth empire? The Roman Empire. And then came the Ottoman Empire. We had the Roman Empire, we had the Holy Roman Empire. And then the Holy Roman Empire here, during this period of time, here's where we go. Right here, 570, Muhammad was born. By 610, 632 he died. Boy, I mean, you can just see all the devastation that started across Europe. We have two great monsters. We have Catholicism and we have Islam fighting. And we have Christians all along that are getting the biggest brunt of it. But these two empires, both of them are church-state empires. The church and state empires. They have people by this political organizations, okay? And we have the true churches all through here during that period of time that don't have any part with that. When you go to college and you take church history, they're going to teach you the history of the Catholic Church. That is not church history. That is not church history. That's history of only the Catholic Church. If you teach church history, you're going to have to talk about Islam and how they took place. And all the way through here, for 300 years, Islam ruled Europe. And what? The Bible is always Jerusalem-centric, isn't it? Who rules Jerusalem? That's what the book of Revelation is talking about. That's what Ezekiel's talking about all of these things. Who rules Jerusalem? Who ruled Jerusalem for all of those years, except for about a 100-year period of time? The Ottoman Empire did, okay? Except when the Christian crusaders went out there, so-called, and they killed all those Arabs and Muslims that were in Jerusalem, and they took it back over, but they didn't keep it. It went back. So that Seventh Empire ruled for a long time until March the 3rd, 1922. And then it says in the book of Revelation that empire died. It was dealt a deadly blow. And then it says, then it erased. Most of your eschatological end studies, even John Wolver, will talk about the revision of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the sixth. It's not the seventh. The eighth empire will be the same as the seventh, which was what? Islam. Okay? Now, Gog and Magog, that stands up in these last days here in this battle of Armageddon, that is Gog and Magog is in Turkey. That's the old headquarters of the Islamic Empire. Some of those boys all the way down for 1,000 years had this stuff in their head, evidently. And, of course, Satan is putting it in there. He's behind that empire. All right, let's go on now. And he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him, so that he could no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time. That's what we're just talking about. He's going to be liberated for a short time. That's that last battle, and then he's done and over with, and he becomes a final. His permanent address is hell, the lake of fire. Then I saw thrones, and the one sitting upon them, who were those to whom authority to act as judges and pass sentence and entrusted. Also I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes and beheaded, swords actually, beheaded. Now who are they? Who are these guys? These are the ones that got killed during the tribulation period. Right here. Now they're over here. They're over here in the millennium. These guys are. And they're souls, okay? Let's look at these souls. Now, a soul and a spirit and a body are three separate entities, but they make up one person. But your soul has feelings. Your soul sees. Your soul touches. Your soul hears and all this. Luke, the 16th chapter, tells us about that. I saw the souls of those who had been slain and beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, who had refused to pay homage to the beast. Remember what happens? According to the Islam, the beast will rise out, come out of Mecca, out of Arabia, and he will mark all of those that are true Islam. And he will mark the faces for those that are going to be killed. Okay, so some of these guys get killed. The other ones live and become part of the army of the Antichrist, okay? And they would not pay homage to the beast or his statue, and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ, the Messiah, 1,000 years. Daniel 7, 9, 22, and 27. If you go back, it tells about this going to happen. Nothing happens in the book of Revelation that wasn't prophesied in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Every bit of this is prophesied in times of old. Then it says here, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years was completed, and this is the first resurrection. What we're talking about here, we make a statement and then we go back. This resurrection here and here is the first resurrection. There's even going to be a resurrection or a translation of these people here at the end of this period of time. That's all part of the first resurrection. And then what is the second resurrection? The last resurrection? That's of the damned. That's when they are resurrected. All the damned. And these damned go all the way from here all the way over to here. They are in Hades in the meanwhile, aren't they? That's a place of torments and everything for their souls. But that's for the souls. Hades is for the souls. Sheol's for the souls. The lake of fire is for the resurrected bodies. Now the beast and the false prophet are thrown in here already in their bodies. And they like, and it says in the book of Revelation that their bodies are like asbestos. I know you probably don't know what asbestos is, do you? It is something that is illegal today to use. Asbestos will not burn. Asbestos means not burnable. But in the book of Revelation, it talks about these bodies are asbestos bodies. They won't burn up. They're going to stay there forever. They'll burn and burn and burn. Then it says, blessed and happy, to be envied and holy, and spiritually whole and unimpaired and innocent, and true virtue is the person who takes part and shares in the first resurrection. How many first resurrection are we talking about? There was a resurrection when Jesus was resurrected, wasn't it? Some of the saints that back here, the Old Testament saints were resurrected with him, they went to heaven. I don't know whether all of them went there or not. Some people think all of them were resurrected at that time, and some people say only. But this is called the first fruits of the resurrection. Then, at the end of the church age, there is a rapture and a resurrection of all the people in the church age. And then at the end of the tribulation period, there is a rapture and a resurrection of all of those that died during the tribulation period. But the saved on earth are not raptured. The saved on earth go into the thousand-year reign of Christ. And how long do they live? You know, Peyton, how long do these people live?
A thousand years.
They're not going to die. All of the curse on the earth is lifted. There are antidotes for anything out there. There's healing for a thousand years, Brother Ray.
So you have the tribulation saints that are underneath the altar that are dead at that point.
Those are dead.
Okay, and then you have those that are alive that I know that are going to go into the millennium.
They're going to go into the millennium in their bodies.
What about the ones that were under the altar?
Those are the ones that were killed during the tribulation period. So they are resurrected.
They're resurrected, but they are not going into the millennium?
Yes, they're not going to go into the millennium. They get to go be with God. And they're going to rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years because they are dead. Everybody that has been killed is going to be resurrected. All of these that have stood faithful, 5 out of every 6 people in the world is going to be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed, at least. There's going to be a remnant of these people here at the end of the tribulation period that are saved believers. No unbelievers are going to go into the millennial reign. This is all part of God's eternal purpose, okay? You understand?
Well, like you said, those dead saints during the tribulation period are going to end up with the Lord because he's up there in the New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem is a city approximately 1,500 square miles. Yesterday I gave all of the correct dimensions of it. It's not exactly 1,500 square miles probably, but they call it 1,500 miles by 1,500 square miles, and that's it. And yesterday I gave all the dimensions and how many floors there were on it, everything about it, how many square feet there were in it, how many apartments were in it, everything. Okay? We talked about all of that yesterday. That is going to be above the earth, and it will not touch the earth, and it's going to shine like the sun. And down on the earth, there's not going to be any more curse. People aren't going to have to work themselves to death to get ground to produce. The ground is just going to shout forth. Where there was deserts, it's going to be farmland. Brother Ray.
So remember you used to talk about the hewers of wood and drawers of water? Remember that?
The hewers of wood and the drawers of water, yes.
Who are these people?
Those people in the Old Testament were people that accepted Judaism. But they were proselytes is what they were.
Okay.
Proselytes, just like Shechem was before they got killed.
Yeah.
They'd all become proselytes. And then Levi and Simeon went there and killed every one of them. That wasn't a good deal.
Yeah.
Jacob held it against them until the day he died. On his dying bed, he denounced them for killing all those people that had believed. All right? And here, are you getting this straightened out? I know this is a lot of information. But is it clear? Did you understand something today that you didn't know when you came in here? Huh? All right, here we go. So we have people on the earth. Now, those people that believe the end of the week rapture try to say that the rapture is only of the elect. But who is the elect?
All the saved.
All the saved, period. It's possible that there is a rapture in the middle of the week. I don't believe it, but it's possible because there's going to be people that are going to be raptured at the end of the week. They're going to go over here. There's still people to go in here and populate the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now let's go on a little further. Let's read this thing. And when the 1,000 years was completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement. Boy, Marilyn has asked me, why in the world did God do that? To show us that people will still follow Satan even though they had the perfect rule of God. That is Gog and Magog, to muster them for war, and their number is as the sand of the sea. There's going to be a lot of unbelievers then. Ezekiel 38 and verse 2, 9, 15, and 22. and they swarmed over the broad plain of the earth. Now, the earth has been coldly changed, remember. There's great plains here now, flat lands. There are not near as many mountains. We know that Jerusalem has been elevated, and the city of Jerusalem, the city of the Ezekiel's temple, is standing up there in Jerusalem, and I don't have all the dimensions of that for you right now. I did that in another class. And they encircled and fortress the camp of God's people and the saints and the beloved city. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. 2 Kings 1:10 through 12, Ezekiel 38 and 2 and 22. See, everything is confirmed by some Old Testament prophecy. The Bible is not a mystery book if you just put it together. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through ages upon ages. And then it says, I saw the great white throne and the one who sat upon it. Now here we have a judgment of who, Sister Schrader?
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers. Now this is a resurrection of the unbelievers. All right. Now let's go to Mr. McLean's writing here.
Now, how long is that period when Satan is loosed after the thousand-year reign and then the great white throne and he's thrown into the lake of fire? How long is that period, does it say?
30 minutes.
So not 30
minutes. I don't know how long it is. It could be 30 days.
So
it's not gonna last very long, because the Lord has ruled with a rod of iron, remember? He didn't allow any of the rebellion. But now, again, why is the millennium? Why is this allowed? To show people and their Adamic nature that they will go contrary to God when they don't have Satan, and when he's on the place, when he's on the scene, they do it a whole lot more. And they're ready to fight God one more time. They believe. See, you understand this, Marilyn?
Custer's last stand, huh?
Yeah, Custer's last stand. Custer didn't even make it to his last stand. He got killed crossing that creek before he ever got there. Yeah, that Custer's last stand, it wasn't a fact. That didn't happen. His men made the last stand. Custer got shot by White Buffalo, a little old boy, 12 years old, when he crossed that creek. They threw him back across his horse, took him up on that hill, and there was Custer's last stand while Custer was dead. Mm. Custer got all of his men killed. If Custer would have lived through that, he would have been court-martialed and hung or shot, because he disobeyed orders of Crook, and he lost the whole battle because he wouldn't obey orders. That was a little parenthesis in history, okay? The final judgment, the final rebellion. The rebellion of Satan and his deluded followers is not part of the millennial kingdom. Remember that. The millennial kingdom is over when this happens. The millennial reign, because this wouldn't happen in the millennial reign. This is a little parenthetical period of time, like the tribulation period over here. It doesn't even show it there. But there's a little place right in there. How long is it? I don't know. Maybe it's 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, 15 days. I do not know. Maybe 30 minutes. Not going to last very long, because God's not going to allow it. As John describes the tragic event, it does not come until the 1,000 years are expired. Verse 7. Then for a brief season, the divine restraint will be relaxed for the purpose of providing one last supreme demonstration of the appalling wickedness of the unregenerated human heart, to show what the unregenerated human heart will do. How such a rebellion could spring up following a kingdom which began with a society of unregenerated people should be no mystery. In the Garden of Eden, were there any unsaved people there originally? No. Did we have a rebellion? We have a rebellion of only a couple. And how long has that lasted? At least 6,000 years. Maybe 15,000 years, according to some chronologies, but it's lasted, I'm telling the people. It's lasted. When Jesus was born, according to the Septuagint chronology, he was born after 6,000 years, when the 7,000 year began. I just want to tell you that. When people start doing all these chronologies, study more chronologies than just one. Don't be blind with this thing. For regenerated parents are no guarantee of regenerated progeny, are they?
Nope.
As we should have learned long ago, if the number who respond to the satanic leadership seems to be disproportionately large as the sand of the sea, we must remember that under the millennial control, disease, death, and the human race will greatly multiply. How many children can a woman have? 1,000 children. That's biologically possible if she lived that long.
Wow.
1,000 kids. Eve probably had 1,000. So now, if every 30 or 40 year old generation, these get up, well, a woman can have a child when she's 14 years old. Usually by then. But from there on, we have a lot of population, don't we? We have gobs, millions and billions of people on this earth again. The earth is repopulated. Moreover, the large number of unsaved is always balanced by the promise made to Abraham. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Genesis 22:17. And the saved in every age, in a sense, are Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29. And when John describes the objective of the satanic attack, the camp of the saints, there is no necessary implication that all the millennial saints are shut up in Jerusalem. It only means that Satan recognizes, as we might expect, that here in the beloved city is the center or citadel of the millennial government, isn't it? That's the center of it. Above the earth, we have Christ ruling a new Jerusalem above the earth, but we have a king on the throne, which many people believe is the resurrected David. Because we have two unconditional covenants in the Bible, the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant. Genesis 49 tells us that there will not a ruler will not depart from Judah's knees until Shiloh comes, until Jesus came. And of course, Satan had the imposter on the throne, which was Herod. Okay? But the Lord showed them the king, and they rejected him, didn't they? The rebellion ends in a judgment, not a battle. I want you to understand that. The rebellion ends in a judgment, not the battle. How much battle was taking place on the outside of that ark? Huh? Not much. They're all drowning. They're all dying. This is like that too. The end is by fire and divine execution. It was by water before, now it's by fire. The final judgment, Revelation 20:11-15. The judge here must be our Lord Jesus Christ, to him alone, according to his claims, has been committed all judgment, and the Father judges no man, John 5:22. And for this immense education, our Lord is perfectly fitted, for he not only has the requisite divine ability, but he alone of the persons of the Godhead has had a personal experience in human life, being not only the Son of God, but also the Son of Man, the Son of Woman in John 5:27. The purpose of this judgment is not to determine who is to be lost or saved. This is a matter which must be settled before death. You don't have any, there's no second chance after that. You either believe in this life or you're lost in this life forever. You don't leave here in limbo, okay? In this respect, all men are always living in a day of judgment, a time when the grace of God personally and personal destiny is determined by human decision. As our Lord once said, he that believes on him is not judged. He that believeth not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. The purpose of the final judgment is to exhibit the character of the judged and award to them according to their works. You're not saved according to your works, are you? You're rewarded according to your works after you've been saved. But the lost are judged according to their works. And hell is a place of variable torments, just like heaven is a place of variable glory. The subjects of this judgment are not named in the passage as the dead, Revelation 20:12. And since they are to be judged according to their works, verse 12 and 13, the implication points strongly to a class of people who are dead spiritually as well as physically. By works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, Romans 3:20. For the saved, on the other hand, there can be no such judgment, because their judgment with reference to sin took place at Calvary. We are not responsible for our sins. Jesus died for our ungodly sins. It is in very solemn fact, of course, that the believer's work must be brought into judgment for reward or loss. 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15. We are going to be judged, and there will be various degrees of glory. Not all will be the same. The highest, those glorified in the resurrection, will be the church. And then from there on, we have different degrees. The resurrected saints that have died during the tribulation period have a very special place with the Lord, because they lived through a hard, hard time that we don't know here right now. Okay? But this will have taken place at some point between the rapture of the church and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. It will have nothing to do with salvation. Furthermore, since all those saved before the millennial kingdom will have part in the first resurrection, and during the millennium none of the saved will die, there appears to be no reason for any resurrection of saved people afterwards. Okay? The saved people in the millennium are that go into the millennium are changed at the end of the time. Changed that and brought to be inhabitants. New Jerusalem above the earth. Some people, some saints will go from New Jerusalem to the earth and commingle with unresurrected people. But only those that are saved and glorified in resurrected bodies can go into New Jerusalem above the earth. Now, because no sin will be allowed in there. People living in their natural bodies, sin indwells it, doesn't it? Your nature is there, that Adamic. That's the whole purpose of the millennial reign, to show people that they're bad. We're sinners by nature. There's nothing we can do to be saved. It's by the grace of God we're saved.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that spiritual bodies from heaven go into inhabit earth, but never in the reverse.
Yes.
People in human bodies can never go
into heaven. No, not in New Jerusalem. Yeah. Not in New Jerusalem. They can't go. If there are any of the saved in this final resurrection, nothing is at all said about their destination, whereas that the unsaved is specifically stated, Revelation 20 and verse 15. The books mentioned must include the written word of God, the divine record of human deeds, and there is a recorded record of all of our lives. In the latter, perhaps, there will be other books, such as the book of memory and the book of the universe, where it has been suggested by some that there could be found a physical recording of the image of every act committed and the sound of every word uttered from the beginning of the world. As to the book of life, which appears here, it seems to be definitely set apart from the books out of which the dead are to be judged according to their works. It is not of the books but another book. Its purpose is to testify silently by its omissions against those who had rejected the mercy of God. Significantly, there is here no book of death. While men are elected to salvation, none are elected to damnation. I want you to understand that. I believe that thoroughly. People are not born to go to hell. They are not elected to damnation. We elect ourselves to damnation. Jesus Christ atonement is sufficient to save all men, but only efficacious to those that will be saved. It is their choice, not God's, that brings them into the last place of doom. The outcome of this judgment is eternal perdition in the lake of fire. 14:15. No other destination is even mentioned in the context of this passage. If any other of are saved out of this judgment and ushered into heaven, strangely nothing is said about them. Such an idea seems to be excluded from the opening words of the passage. The judge sits on the great white throne. This is a great white throne. Encircling his throne is no rainbow of hope, as the case of his pre-kingdom judgment alone, throne. 4:3. Bringing salvation into an innumerable multitude, 7:9-14, but the color of the final judgment throne is ineffably whiteness of absolute holiness and justice, unrelieved by any semblance of grace. At this solemn adjudication, the matter of rebellion and discord in the universe receives its final disposition. in preparation for the kingdom of which God will be all and in all. That's on page 510. Okay. Our next class will start with that. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have several. So during that thousand-year reign, the only people going into that will be people that are believers.
Yes.
And they'll have 1,000 years of being married, having children,
yes,
and all that stuff. So will those people still have to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior to
yes,
have the chance of being saved?
Yes.
And so they'll know.
They will know it.
It.
They will see God. They yes, will see okay, God's representative. They'll see these resurrected saints and all that kind of stuff. And it will probably influence many. But according to our Adamic nature, at the end of that time, well, there are going to be people killed during that time. People that are rebels get killed. Just like that. They're not allowed to go rob houses and do all kinds of stuff they do today. Mm-hmm. They're going to be done away with. Zip. It's over. They will be, when they get started in their crime is the end of the crime. God's not going to allow it. He's going to rule that 1,000 years with a rod of iron, isn't he?
Okay.
Okay?
And then my other question is, if the purpose of Satan in the bottomless pit is to show that man is depraved without Satan's influence, has that always been so? And if so, then man would have chosen sin without Satan in the garden?
He could have. Man was supposed to, wasn't he? But because of his nature, the nature that he gave to all of us, we are sinners by nature. And that sinful nature will go all the way through the millennial reign.
So that
but
nature,
it will not be allowed into any place in the eternal kingdom.
So I guess my question is I know some people would ask, if the purpose of Satan being in the bottomless pit for that thousand-year reign is to show that man in his humanity is depraved.
Totally depraved.
Wouldn't that mean that from the beginning we have been totally depraved?
No. After Adam's choice, we have been totally depraved. But how many people got saved?
So it took that first...
It's volition.
It took that first influence of Satan
yes,
to spark that...
Would Adam have sinned sooner or later?
Well, yeah.
Just like Satan, just like Lucifer sinned, Adam probably would have sinned. And that's the whole purpose of the millennial reign.
And that's where you keep saying that we are created in the sovereign image of God, that we have a sovereign
volition.
Choice.
We have a sovereign volition.
Okay.
So do angels, so do spirits, so do animals, I guess. Okay? Anything else? All right. Brother Roger, you want us to dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Thank you.